it's a big message for all of us, and we thank, of course, the Gold students, even though the Rebbetzin is not with us, but now we have the little Rebbetzin. You should be zuchah to grow up to be like your parents and to open your home to Torah.
Amen.
With a smile. Okay. Before we move forward to the letter Nun, I just want to revisit the letter Mem for a moment to possibly examine some of its more treacherous aspects. You know, each of the osios of the Aleph Beis we've been focusing, obviously, as is the way of Chassidus, to always focus on the good, especially in light of the teachings of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, our great Rebbe. And the Svarim teach us that the letters of the Aleph Beis we focused on it once or twice have both positive and negative aspects. In other words, nothing in this world is good or bad. It just depends on how we use it. And the very same kochos which we have within our grasp, to use in Avodas Hashem, if used improperly, could just as easily be used to distance ourselves, chas v'shalom, from Hashem. So last week we spoke about the letter Mem, and how the Mem is actually a word in Hebrew. The word in Hebrew, Mayim, is a plurality of Mems. Yud Mem at the end of a word means plurality. So Mayim means multiple Mems. And we spoke about how the idea of water is rebirth, and how a person can nullify themselves to go back to that state of pre-birth, when a child is in their mother's womb, when they're still Maya Ba'alma, like the Gemara says, they're just water, they're surrounded by the embryonic fluids. And even more so, going back to the beginning of the world, when it was just water and water, and there was nothing but water. And we spoke about what it means to have water, and specifically Mem, the letter Mem, to use that in Avodas Hashem as a means of becoming something brand new. That for 40 days Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah and became something brand new. When Hashem wanted to renew the world, He brought a flood for 40 days. We learned all of this last year, last week. But the letter Mem also has a negative aspect. And that is that if Mem means in some way the power of water to nullify and to be mevatel what was there previously to make room for something new, so then of course this koach has a negative counterpart, has a negative foil, as all midos do and as all things in the world do. And therefore, before we understand what Nun is and how Nun helps us to protect ourselves from the negative aspects of the letter Mem, let's just for a moment dip back into the waters of the letter Mem and try to understand how this power of water to nullify and to be mevatel, like we explained for a positive way, to do tshuva and to renew oneself in the waters of a mikvah and in the waters of Ein Mayim Ela Torah, like we spoke about last week, also has a negative counterpart. And that is the ability of, as we find Chazal, comparing water to a public opinion which comes and just completely nullifies and knocks down a person's way of thinking, a person's way of living, and specifically the positive ways that we live and we try to serve Hashem. There's one of my favorite svarim in the world. It's written by the Piazetzner Rebbe. It's called Tzav Viziros. Some of you studied it this year. Some of you studied it last year. Some of you studied it 3 years ago. And some of you probably never studied it. And I've been studying it every year since I first laid my hands on it.
What's it called? It's called
Tzav Viziros. Over here. And it's the private journal or diary of the Piazetzner Rebbe, Hashem Yinkom Domo, who was murdered by the Nazis. And again, as I always say when I quote it, we're not 100% sure if he intended it for it to be published or if it was intended for publication and that was his intention. We don't really know. But it's exceedingly private and amazing look into the mind of one of the greatest tzaddikim of the previous generation, something that we don't take very lightly, to be able to sit and have a private conversation with the tzaddik, who's really only talking to himself. That's an amazing experience. So, in Oz Zion, in his seventh entry in his journal, the Piazetzner Rebbe writes, Kinar shotef asher yizrom v'yaschev kol asher al darko yimatze. Like a raging river, which streams and drags everything that's in its path. Afel tochor mustakim yachter v'yishtov. Even into the cracks and the crevices, the water finds itself. The kain gam zaram deos hador as das hayachid yishtov. So too do the opinions and ideas of the generation erode and clear away the ideas of the individual. Yesh asher lo yargish hayachid me'uma. There are certain things which the individual does not feel. Ubedato yidma shedato asher me'az etan gam ata. And he or she feels that their mind is just as strong in their convictions and in their beliefs as ever. Alav be'emes alav yifalu. But we shouldn't fool ourselves. These waters have a way of dragging us along together with them and working themselves upon us. V'imahem ma'ato harbe yischov. And together with those waters we are dragged, either a little or a lot. Ba'akimosam yisakem. In their crookedness, when they turn, we turn. U'min pig'ehem yifgam. And in every pagam, in every shortcoming that they create, with it water erodes. With all of their erosion, we begin to erode. Ukemo she'ef shar li'ish. Listen carefully. And just like it's impossible for a person li'ishar al makom b'toch zaram hanar b'shashu omid. I just went with yeshiva this past week. We went up north and we went on this amazing, brilliant educational move, I think, on behalf of the Hanhala. They took us back to this nachal where we went on the first day of yeshiva. We went on a tiyul. We went to this nachal called Nachal Kibbutzim. Amazing place. You start by your waist up in water, and then by the time you get to the end, you're like up to your neck, and you have to like swim a little bit, and it goes back down. It's not scary at all, but there is one point where they set it. It's a real river, but they set it up with like these man-made kind of. They make like these pipes so that the water becomes constricted and it comes out very fast. That's like the hardest part, like when you have to like battle against that. And the Pizetzner, with that fresh in my mind, I'll share with you, the Pizetzner says that like a person who's standing up against the rapids in a river, b'shashu omid, bilti imholeich oshat v'shoif hala, if he's not, walking forward and pushing forward and swimming forward with all of his might, b'inim yachol b'in lo yachol. Whether he's able to go further, whether he's able to surmount the raging river, Negad Hazarim, Al Makomu Yishar. If he pushes himself or she pushes herself as much as the person can, at least you'll stand in your place. You won't be dragged downstream. Veloli Yishayif Ma'at Imharbe Bideos Olam, and maybe you'll be dragged a little bit by the ways of the world and their opinions. And it's impossible for a person to not be dragged a little bit, but Bilti im yazaras masnaf tamid, if a person continuously girds themselves and takes their strength to the next level. B'ta'avaso ba'avodaso lehosif lahalos, constantly to demand more of themselves. Lo yanuach v'lo yashkod, never to rest and never to remain silent. Rak el al yisa, rather constantly traveling higher and higher. Beinim lahalos yizke bein lo, whether you're zocha to reach great heights, whether you're zocha to become a great person or not, that's really up to Hashem. B'deos ha'olam al kol panam lo yishaf b'zaram lo yitkalel. But at least you won't be totally annihilated, completely overwhelmed and overcome by the slow erosion of the thoughts and ideas of society on your way of thinking. In fact, the Piazetzner Rebbe, who was a Rebbe, was davening for this, but the truth is, it's not only the tefillah of a Rebbe, it's the tefillah of the chassid as well. David HaMelech said in Sefer Tehillim, Al zos yispal kol chassid. Every chassid is davening. Every pious person is davening to Hashem. That when it comes to the letter mem is so powerful, like we spoke about last week, but that power could be used in a way which could destroy you. Al zos yispal kol chassid. This is what the Hasidim are always davening about. You heard it here first. I have a song, Mitzvah Hashem. Next summer, I'm going to try to record an album to these words. Azos yispal kol chaser elecha le'eis matzo. I'm not going to sing it. Rak l'sheitef mayim rabim elav lo yagiv. What's the tefillah of the chaser? The tefillah of the righteous person is that when he finds Hashem, when he finds an opportune moment, he prays, Rak l'sheitef mayim rabim elav lo yagiv. May the raging waters that the possessed and everybody's talking about here, may the eroding, corroding, nullifying waters of the letter Mem, which can completely annihilate a person's own way of thinking and make them 100% butel to the thoughts of other people, may they not reach me. A love lo yagiu. May they not come close to me. May they not reach me. This is the more nefarious, less optimistic side of the letter Mem that we didn't talk about last week. As much as the letter Mem has this koach of eroding our opinions in the face of public opinion, there are people who are able to escape from the raging rivers. There are those who HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers their prayers. What the chassid is davening for, the tzaddik actually attains. The Alter Rebbe of Lubavitch, in Likutei Torah, in Parsha Shmini, and in many other places, based on the Arizal and earlier Sfarim, writes that Al Yedei Avoda Ruchnias Shal Tzadikim Hanizkar Le'el, Veheim Nekraim Nune Yama Kedogim, Elu Shayam Echas Aleim, Kach Hemi Bechinas Alma De Eskasya. The Alter Rebbe teaches us that there are those Tzadikim who are zoche to achieve a level which is referred to as nune yama. The Zohar describes four different people, three different people who are called Saba something, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who were referred to as nune yama, the fish of the sea. These nune yama, these fish of the sea, who live in this world of Hester, who live underneath the waters, and somehow manage not to be carried away with the raging stream, but remain underneath the surface all the while traveling upstream against the current. These tzaddikim are the ones who were zochet to have the tefillah of the chassid, Rak l'sheitef mayim rabim elav lo yagiu, answered. For these tzaddikim, the words of Shlomo HaMelech and Shir HaShirim are appropriate. As the Alter Rebbe continues in a different mimer, a more famous mimer, he has a very famous mimer, by the title of the mimer is this pasuk from Shir HaShirim, in Parshas Noach. Very important for anybody who's going to college next year to learn this mimer inside. Happy to learn it with you if you'd like. The mimer is called Mayim Rabim Lo Yachlu Lachavos Esa'ava. Abundant waters, all of the mems in the world, all of the bittul, all of the nullification, all of the erosion in the world, is unable l'chavot es ha'ava, cannot extinguish the love, the flaming coals of love. Unaharos lo yishtafua, and the rivers are unable to drag them downstream. Im yitein ish es kol hon beisel ba'ahava, if somebody would offer me all of the love, all of the money in the world, excuse me, in exchange for this love, boz yavuzu lo, I would simply look at that person in a lowly way. You think I'm going to trade this love that I have for all the money in the world? Mayim rabim lo yachlu lachvos es ha'ahava. For these nune yam, for these tzadikim. And if we understand the letter Nun properly, then Vamech Kulam Tzadik, and then we can all be Tzadik, and we can all be the Nune Yama, we can all be the fish of the sea. The Tzadikim are able to somehow live within the water. Mayim Rabim could be everywhere, there could be water drowning the whole world. But for the Tzadik, Lo Yachlu L'Chavos Esa'ava, that love is unable to be extinguished. And it's not just something that we daven for and hope for and sometimes attain, but it's a beferish halacha. The halacha is that a person has to be a nun. A person must be a nun, just like a person has to be all the letters of the aleph is. A person has to be a nun because they have to know how to swim upstream. Like the fish, like the nune yama. The very first halacha in all of Shulchan Aruch maintains, towards the end, Lo yisbayish mipnei bnei adam hamaligim alav bavodas Hashem yisbarach. That it's against our religion, it's the very first halacha in Shulchan Aruch, to be embarrassed and to be ashamed of one's own religious convictions in the face of those who are maligim, those who scorn and mock the ways of our Holy Torah. A person who's unable to do that, we have to check that person's pulse to make sure that that person is alive. Back to the mashal of the Piyazetz Nerebi, the person who's just allowing the water to carry them downstream. If you see a person not fighting against that current, so we have reason to suspect that it's too late for that person. The person is already, if they don't have enough strength to hold themselves up, it's only a matter of time before they fall underneath the undertow and are dragged downstream. The halacha in Yoredeya, not about people, but about birds, is that if there is a bird which is on the face of the river, Ov shenechvat al pnei amayim, a bird which falls out of a tree or gets injured in some way and falls into a raging river. Now everybody knows that there's a din that even kosher animals could become treif, right? Kosher animals become treif even if they have proper shechita, if they are destined to die within the next 12 months. If an animal is on the way out, if an animal has a life-threatening illness, so then that animal is not kosher even if it didn't meet its end through the illness but through shechita. So the Shulchan Aruch wants us to understand that you have to be able to tell if an animal is well and is alive enough, that giving the proper course of action, given the proper course of action of shechita, this animal will become kosher. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that if you have a bird that's in the water, if that bird is able to somehow paddle against the current and isn't just dragged away, we can assume that that bird is healthy enough, that bird is alive enough, that it's not in any mortal danger. And if I were to pluck the bird out of the river and shecht it, it would be a kosher bird. It wouldn't be a treifa. And the same thing is true of a person who you see who just gave up on themselves, who allows themselves to just be carried along, no longer fighting, no longer trying, is a person who we have to reach out and to try to save, because that person has already entered into a stage where they're considered on the way out. And only a person who has the strength and the resolve to stand up against the tide, like the first Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, the job of a Rebbe, or of a Rebbetzin, or of a parent, is lahamidu tamidim harbe, to have a lot of students. But to have a lot of students doesn't just mean to have a room full of people listening to you talk. Lahamidu tamidim harbe means that if you want to have a lot of students, the goal of having a lot of students means lahamidu, to stand them up, to give them a backbone, to put their bones back, their brittle bones back together so they could fight against the current. Because how many people have I spoken to just in the past week, let alone the past year, who are just hanging on for dear life, at the edge of a rope, and are saying, I can't do this anymore, I tried for 12 years, and now it's my year in Israel, or I've tried this for 25 years, and I'm done, and I can't, I'm just so tired, I'm so broken. The job of a good Rebbe, or of a good Rebbetzin, the job of a good parent, a good father, a good friend, is lahamid, to stand that person back up, to give them a backbone. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of time gives us the proper weaponry to be able to do that. The Degel Machaneh Ephraim, the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, writes that he heard, presumably from the Baal Shem Tov, Shebekol Hamidos Afilu She'enem Tovim Yachol La'avu Behem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That even with the negative midos that exist in the world, a person is able to serve Hashem. To be a nun, to be a fish that swims upstream, a person needs a certain type of medicine in their arsenal. So everybody knows that Chazal say that as we're getting closer and closer to the end of time, as Mashiach is coming closer, the ikvah said the Mashiach chutzpah yaske. As we're getting closer and closer to the end of time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us through the Chachamim and the Gemara and Sota that chutzpah yaske. I could tell you that for sure, also as an educator, that's also true. Not me, I'm not so makbar on these things, but when you see, you know, you see a young boy, I don't know if this is such a thing with the girls, but certainly not with the girls with the Rebbeim, but maybe with their female teachers, but I don't know if it's such a thing with the girls in any way, but with the boys, you see them go over to the Rosh Hashiva and to put their arm around the Rosh Hashiva, like, you know, I don't know, like they just scored a touchdown or something, and go, really, like, going to put their arm around the Rebbe, like their best friends. Part of it has to do with that our generation, the Rebbeim, are mandated by the Tzaddikim that you have to be a little bit more smiley, a little bit more open, a little bit more friendly, come down to the level of the Talmudim to try to raise them up. But the mistake that sometimes people make is they think that the other way, like it's okay the other way around also. And chutzpah yaske. But the truth is that the Baal Shem Tov saw it differently. The Baal Shem Tov said that when Mashiach is coming closer, chutzpah yaske, a person's ability to be a mechutzif, to be nothing, to have no business studying the secrets of the letters of the Aleph Beis. Who are we to be studying the deepest secrets of Torah? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that we need that extra chutzpah to be able to fight against the raging current. The chutzpah yaske that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into the world at the end of time is medicine. Yes, it's also poison, but isn't that the way with certain types of medicine? That they have side effects, that there's poisonous side effects to that particular medicine, but there's something good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem doesn't send down bad things to the world. The chutzpah yaske that Hashem is sending is that chutzpah of, I'll speak for myself, but probably every single person around this table, that we have the audacity to do the most silly averos in the world. And then immediately after, get up and demand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu things in tefillah, and it's good, it's important. The tzaddikim say that a person is not able to do, not that you should do this like achila, but a person is not able to do the worst avir in the world, and then get right up and daven a strong mincha, has not even touched the threshold of the base medrash of the Baal Shem Tov. Because you have to know that in the end of time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put chutzpah in the world so that we won't give up, so that we'll be able to hold on tight. Even though everything is telling us, let go, you're nothing. And that's the koach of the letter Nun. Whereas the letter Mem has this strong koach to help us to be mevatel ourselves to Hashem, the letter Nun says, be mevatel yourself to Hashem, but don't be mevatel yourself to the insanity of the world. Stand up strong for yourself. Stand up, swim upstream like a fish. Be an individual. Don't be carried away by public opinion. And these are the beautiful, beautiful words of the Maharal. The Maharal writes in Netzach Yisrael Perek Gimel, Ein el hanun hachibur v'hatziruf. The letter Nun has no partner. The letter Nun does not get carried away with any other person. It stands by itself. Ki kol ha'osios heimis chabros. Every letter in the Aleph Beis has a twin, as a partner. Listen. Kimo ha'yud min ha'osios ha'asirios. For example, if you take the letters that are in the tens column. So ha'tzadi and the yud together make 100. And the chaf and the pei make 100. And the lamed and the ayin make 100. 30 and 70 is 100. Mem and samach, 60 and 40, is 100. And the only one who's left in the middle without a partner is the nun, says the Maharal. The nun has no partner. Yud and tzadi make 100. Chaf and pei make 100. Everyone has a partner to make 100. In the Maharal's system of thought, 10 and 100 are perfection. Round, those big round numbers like that are the height of perfection, the Eser Sfiros, the Koma Ha'adam, the Koma Shlema. And the same thing is true, says the Maharal, with the letter Hey. Va'af ki gama Hey, yesh la segula zos pa'usios ha'achadim. Even though it's true that the letter Hey has a similar property, don't say that the Nun is unique in this property. Ki Aleph v'hates, because Aleph and Tes together make 10. And Beis and Ches make 10. And Gimel and Zion make 10. V'chulu v'chulu. Dalet and Vav make 10. And the Hey is left alone. So say that the Hey and the Nun together have this property. Says the Maharal, Inachanami, that's true, on the fourth line now. V'alze ne'amar in Bamidbar, Chaf Gimel Pasuk Tes, Hein Am Levadod Yishkon. Am Yisrael is an Am, is a nation which dwells alone. Hein. Hey and Nun, those two letters which dwell alone. Hein Am Levadod Yishkon. Am Yisrael is a nation which dwells alone by itself. Sheze ne'amar al Yisrael, Sheheim Uma Yechida, She'ein Lachibur, Shum Uma. We're not carried away by the public opinion of anybody. Rak Levadod Yishkon, we dwell by ourselves. So if you'll say the hay also has this quality, so I'll tell you, says the Maharal, that it's true, but the nun has one up. Both hay and nun have no chibur except to themselves. There's a difference between hay and nun. Because the nun, no matter how you slice it, is going to be alone, whereas the hay could have a partner. Says the Maharal, and I'll say outside for the sake of time, the letter Hey could have a partner, because if you take the letters, the Aleph Beis, of which there are 27 in total, says the Maharal, there are 22 letters, the Aleph Beis plus the 5 double letters. Each one of them has a partner, 27 letters, there will be 13 letters on one side, 13 letters on the other side, and Nun will be left in the middle by itself. Nun is isolation, mitoch isolation. It's isolated from its tens column. It's isolated from all the letters of the Aleph Beis, whereas Hey is only isolated within its the ones column. Is that clear? Hein Am Levadod Yishkon. Say it again. Sure. Whereas the Hey has no partner in the ones column, right? The Dalet and the Vav make 10. The Gimel and the Zion make 10. The Beis and the Ches make 10. The Hey is left alone. But when you take the 27 letters of the Aleph Beis and you write them out in order, so there'll be 13 letters on this side and 13 letters on the other side, and Nun will be in the middle, whereas Hey will have a partner on the other side. Nun is utterly alone. And to be utterly alone has, again, like we said, all letters have positive and negative aspects. To be utterly alone sounds very sad. But to be utterly alone also means to be completely unique, completely unaffected by the raging waters, by the Maim Rabim, to be completely unaffected by the world's way of thinking, instead of my way of thinking, instead of being affected by the Nefesh Elokim Mimal, which is inside of me, and that telling me what to do, that telling me how to lead my life. People get affected by the Mayim Rabim, the abundant Mems. But the Nun stands alone. The fish, not the cheese, stands alone. And we see that the letter Nun actually has this quality in grammar. There's a Gemara above Metzia. The Gemara above Metzia says, Tashma rovetz velo ravtsan. The Gemara in Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph is talking about the sugya of, if I see my friend with his beast of burden, his donkey or his camel, which is overladen with goods. So we're aware of the fact that there is a mitzvah called prika, where you're supposed to help the person take the load off of the animal, to be porik from the animal, the heavy load. And the discussion of the mitzvah of prika is described by the Torah as, if you see the animal rovates, it's like kind of buckling, tachas, underneath its maso, under the burden that it's carrying. So you should help it. So the Gemara says, rovates, but not ravtsan. What does it mean, rovates, but not ravtsan? So Rashi fills us in. Rovates, mikrahu losha rovates tachas maso, but pamazos. that it happens to be the guy miscalculated. He thought that the refrigerator would be able to be handled by the donkey. It turns out that it wasn't able to be handled by the donkey. And you see the donkey's buckling underneath the weight of the refrigerator. There's a mitzvah of prika, of helping the person take the weight off of the donkey, whether it be because of Tzar Bali Chaim or because you're helping your friend, whatever it is, there's a mitzvah to do that. But if this guy is constantly using his donkey to schlep couches and pianos and who knows what, and he's always doing that, he's Rav Tzan, this donkey is Rav Tzan. He is, what does Rav Tzan, Rashi says? Hergil Bekach. He's constantly being overburdened. He's constantly buckling under the pressure of the weight that he's carrying. Then we don't have to help. Because this person is clear, we don't have to get involved with every mishagas of every person who does crazy things. We see from here, and we know it from other places as well. How do you say to steal in Hebrew? Gezel, right? Gezel is theft. How do you say a thief? What? Gazlan. A gazlan. Right? Ganav. Right? Ganvan. That means a person who steals all the time. As opposed to ganav means I stole one time. Right? Ganvan means I do it all the time. Gezel means I stole. Gazlan means I do it all the time. Lomed means I learn. Lamdan means I'm a lamdan. That means I learn all the time. Nun means, nun, especially at the end of a word, has this property of meaning tamid, constant, steadfast, unwavering, like the shape of the nun sofit itself. Standing up for what it believes and doing it constantly. A person who believes in learning Torah is not a lomed, he's not a person who learns, he's a lamdan, he does it all the time. And therefore, when we come back to the Gemara and Shabbos that we revisit all the time, the children who came into the Beis Medrash and taught amazing things to the Rabbanon that they were sharing with Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, the Gemara and Shabbos, our faithful friend through all the letters of Aleph Beis, they taught things that we haven't heard since the days of Yehoshua ben Nun, said the Chachamim. And what did they teach about the letter Nun? Nun kafufa, nun pshuta, the bent kuf and the straight kuf, ne'emon kafuf, ne'emon pasha. The faithful bent one, the faithful straight one. What does it mean to be faithful? What does it mean, emuna, faith? So everybody knows that when Moshe Rabbeinu was holding his hands up straight and they didn't falter, no matter how tired he got, no matter how much the war raged on. So Moshe Rabbeinu's hands are described in source number 11 as Vayidei Moshe Kvedim. They got hard. The river was carrying them away. The Mayim Rabim tried to extinguish the love. Vayikhu Evin, Vayasimu Tachtav. They put a stone underneath Moshe Rabbeinu's arm so that he'll be able to push further. Vayishav Alav Aaron Achor, and then he got help from his friends and he pushed further. And his hands became faithful. They became steadfast. They became unwavering. The letter Nun means to be unwavering, to be like a fish of the sea that's not taken out by the tide. Only a person who stands in front of a wave gets taken out by the wave. A fish knows how to go underneath the wave, how to battle against the wave, how to swim upstream. This legacy that we have to be fish of the sea, we get from somebody who was very comfortable living on the opposite side of the river. Avram is called Avram HaIvri. We are called Ivrim because we, like Avram Avinu, the great Baal Emunah, the one who invented the concept of Emunah, the faith of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was the first fish. Avram Avinu was the one who was able to stand opposite the rest of the world and say, I don't care what you think. I don't care if you think I'm crazy. But I don't need to bend from my emunah. I don't need to bend from my steadfastness. Therefore, Avram Avinu, like the letter Nun, which is completely isolated and alone, Avram Avinu is called Echad. The Navi says in Yechezkel, Echad haya Avram. Avram was singular. Avram was one. He was alone. He was the lonely man of faith who stood against the entire world and stare them down. And Rabbi Nachman explains that this legacy of Avram Avinu, of being the fish, the nun which goes against the mem, or at least the negative aspect of the mem, that legacy of Avram Avinu is something that was passed down to every one of his children. Echad Hoya Avram. Rabbi Nachman writes, Sha'avram Ovar Hashem Rak Al Yedei Shaya Echad. Avram Avinu's service of God was completely dedicated to his understanding that he was one, that there was only him. Im ein ani li mi li, I can't rely on anybody else's way of understanding. Again, this could be a, if we had more time, so this could be a very dangerous thing as well. Right? That's why we need all the letters of the alphabet. We also need the letter Dalet, which means I'm mamish nothing, and I'm only Makaba. I'm Malchus, I'm only Makaba. Go do Chazar on the previous letters. This is a very dangerous way of thinking, but it's also a very necessary way of thinking sometimes. That I'm the only one in the world. And what anybody else tells me sometimes even, but being careful with this, sometimes even very dear friends, sometimes even Rebbeim and teachers, sometimes even parents. Shechashav b'dayto shu rak yachid ba'olam, to understand you're the only one in the world. It's just you and Hashem. V'lo yistaka klal b'nei olam, not looking at the rest of the world, who cares what they say. Shesorim me'achar Hashem u'monim oso, v'lo al aviv u'shar u'monim, not his father, not anybody else, not anyone else who tried to stop him. Rak ki'ilu hu echad ba'olam v'zeu echad haya Avram. That's what it means, Avram was one. V'chein kola rotza lichnos, anybody wants to enter into Avodas Hashem, yef shar lo likanes, you cannot enter into Avodas Hashem ki ima yedei b'china zu. Except with knowing this teaching, that you have to be a letter nun to stand in the face of everybody else. I've mentioned it numerous times, but it never ceases to amaze me how every time we come to a letter, Hashem just sends some sort of chibur to what's going on in the world. The Alter Rebbe used to say all the time that you have to live with the times, and to live with the times doesn't mean to, you know, have the latest style of glasses or whatever look is in these days. It means to live with the Parsha Sashavua, and it's amazing how it always somehow ties in the Parsha or the Yom Tovim or both. Parsha's Baal Oscha, a long, long time ago, in 1966, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb gave a drasha which strikes home at the core of everything we've been talking about and is just as relevant today, if not more so, than when he gave it. I can't even calculate how long ago that is. There's a parsha within our parsha which is offset by two backwards nuns. Not by backwards alephs, not beis, gimel, dalet, nuns. And those backwards nuns offset the parsha of Vayhi bin So Aaron, Vayomer Moshe, Kuma Hashem, Vayafutza Idecha, Venusu Misonecha Mipanecha, Uvnocho Yomar Shuva Hashem Revavos Alfei Yisrael. Two psukim that the Gemara actually says are safer unto themselves. People think there are five books of the Torah, there are actually seven books of the Torah. There's Bereshis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar up until these two psukim, then these two psukim, and then the end of Bamidbar until the end of Bamidbar, and then Sefer Dvarim. Seven books of the Torah, the Gemara says. Not five. This is a whole Sefer unto itself, offset by two nuns. What is the mystery of these two nuns? And why nuns, as opposed to anything else? So, we travel back in time to June 4th, 1966. For what they mean is that the letter Nun means fish in Aramaic. And therefore the inverted letters, the Nunin Hafuchin, inverted Nuns, backwards Nuns, means what? Symbolize fish that are willing to swim upstream against the tide, against the currents and tendencies of their surroundings. It is this remarkable quality which characterizes the true Jew and distinguishes him from the pagan. The authentic Jew must be able to dissent, to keep apart, to be unpopular, if necessary, to oppose the tide, to swim upstream. A man who cannot swim upstream cannot affirm his own independent judgment against the mob. He neither respects himself nor loves himself. And one who does not love himself cannot love others. And our Torah commands us, love thy neighbor as thyself and not hate thy neighbor as thyself. The upstream tradition of Judaism means that we must dare to be different. It means that when religious observance is frowned upon, we must frown right back and follow the dictates of our conscience and the teachings of the halacha. It means that when religion is popular but for the wrong reasons, such as social or aesthetic reasons, we must not hesitate to say so openly and urge people to practice their religion for the proper motives. When others, for instance, consider it good in good style to indulge in uninhibited and unrestrained lavishness, whether in the pagan ornateness of a funeral or the vulgar exhibitionism of a gala bar mitzvah, we must not fear to affirm our upstream mentality, to assert the delicacy of Judaism's democratic traditions, its insistence upon simplicity, and the emphasis upon the spiritual and the religious. Whenever we find society in violation of the sacred ideals of Judaism, we must become the nunin hafuchim, those who are willing to go upstream, not downstream. We must do so even if we are excoriated, even if the pagans bear us enmity because of it. What he doesn't really address here in this paragraph, I forget if he does, it's a lengthy drasha. He's a good writer, right? But he doesn't really address is why the nuns offset these two psukim. I think in light of what we've been learning, it's quite simple. The way that a Jew travels upstream is vayihi ben so aron. The way to travel upstream is in the aron, is in this ark of Torah. The way that a person is able to stem the tide, like I once heard from the great Magid Shir and Tzaddik, Lekach Ba'alibov, Rav Avram Shor, he once said in a Shir where he was talking about how the Chavetz Chaim used to explain that Hashem gives us certain inventions in the world. He allows certain inventions to be brought into the world in order to teach us things at the end of time. So the Chavetz Chaim says that, you know, cameras and radios were invented so that we'll be able to know that, you know, can you imagine 300 years ago people being told, like, no, Hashem sees and records and hears everything that you're saying. So now, unfortunately, we know all too well of very great people who have been caught on camera and on tape doing embarrassing things, and we know that such a thing is possible. If we could create such a reality, then Hashem could certainly have mechanisms in order to do that. The Chavetz Chaim used to do that a lot. He would explain how Hashem allows for inventions to be created. So I once heard of Avram Shor said in a shir that he heard from the Beis Yisrael of Ger. He heard from the Ger Rebbe that a long time ago, when the whole space thing started, you know, people were going into space, right? So he said that Hashem allowed us to be able to create a rocket ship, to be able to go into outer space, to be able to live in a place where it's impossible to live, to teach us that it's possible to live in places where it shouldn't be possible to live. So that we'll know that even in a society where it's impossible to live like a Jew, even as the world is getting crazier and crazier and crazier, and it becomes more and more difficult to just walk on the street, we'll know that we have our own little spaceships. We have shuls, we have batei medrash, we have homes of people who open up for Torah, we have our own dalet amos of our own homes. The ark of Torah, the vayihi ben so aron, is what allows us to be nun and hafuchim, to be fish.